Good morning, everybody. We're going to just explain a little bit about the EBD. It's a little bit dry, and I don't have a PowerPoint for this, just some general information. The environmental baseline document is a compilation of the first 5 years of the baseline studies conducted for the Pebble Partnership. It is presented as a baseline characterization for the Pebble Project study area. This EBD is being presented at this time as a courtesy in response to agency and public requests to see some data from our studies. There is no decided design for the Pebble Project at this time. This EBD does not address proposed facilities or potential impacts. It is not presented as any part of permitting or formal agency proposal or action at this time. So I'm just trying to state that it's not all of our studies. It's a compilation of the beginning of our studies as a baseline characterization. And while we do have some concepts we're developing, they are not incorporated into the EBD itself. The size of this document. The scope and volume of data collected for the Pebble Project is extensive. The upside to this is the breadth of data we have for the project, the types of studies we've been able to do, the length of studies we've been able to do, and the aerial scope of our studies. The downside of this is it takes a very long time to responsibly process and present this much data. No doubt from the numerous extensions of our estimated ETA for the document and this meeting, it is obvious that none of us had any idea how long it takes to compile, peer review, edit, re-edit, and link within an electronic document 27,000 pages. We do thank you for your patience, and yes, nonetheless, there's still going to be a few typos in the document when you see it. The limits of the document. The EBD is generally limited to the first 5 years of study, starting in 2004 and going through 2008. In a few instances, we were able to update up through 2010 for some types of data. And the limit of this study period is simply a limit of the process. Like I said, with this much data to QAQC, compile and edit, it just takes a long time, and at some place we had to draw the line and say this is how far we're going to cover it this time. We do not plan to revise or update the EBD document itself in the future. We do have ongoing studies. But we will not be putting them into an expanded EBD. It's just way too complexly structured a document to go in and revise things and fix it in all the associated figures, graphs, tables, and references. So additional studies will come out as separate standalone documents in the future. I want to talk a bit about the study areas for the document. There are some generalized study areas within the document, but it should be noted that each discipline has its own specific defined study area. In general, the EBD will often refer to a fairly consistent mine study area, transportation corridor study area, and Cook Inlet study area. But at times, these study areas can vary widely depending on the discipline. For example, parts of the socioeconomic studies extend their analysis all the way up to Anchorage. The caribou studies extend throughout the herd's range, but then if you were to look at something like the marine benthos studies, they're just in the coastal area of the Iliamna and Nisqam Bay area. So these can vary quite widely. Each EBD chapter will clearly define its study area. It's important to keep in mind that of all these different study areas, they've been set to incorporate a variety of possible design options and alternatives. They've also been extended way beyond that to give aerial context, regional context for this data. These study areas do not represent a footprint or any type of impact area. And I just want to repeat that. So when you're looking at statistics and we give you percent wetlands or acreages, these are acreages of the area we studied, not acreages of areas that will necessarily be impacted or disturbed in any way. References and sample site names. As we keep mentioning, there is no current project design that we have decided on, and the EBD does not address locations of facilities, and it does not address possible impacts. That said, there are some chapters, such as the transportation chapter, that do reflect road or port options that have been put forth in state plans or other types of government documents that we put in for context. There's also a representative road alignment that we use throughout the EBD. That's just kind of a typical alignment that could occur throughout this area. Most of your sample locations are going to be labeled through a numbering system or based on a geographical landmark, not on a possible facility location. And the use of geographical reference allows the site references to stay relevant while design concepts are constantly changing. So this prevents labels from becoming out of date and later confusing the reader. At some future date, when there is a project design and the partnership proceeds into impacts analysis, this geographically based labeling system will be amenable to overlays of information from ongoing studies and other design options in the future. That said, there's going to be a few cases that are exceptions, primarily in the Cook Inlet study areas, where people labeled some stations as Port Site 1 or Port Site 2. These are options that were considered at one time, may or may not still be under consideration, and remained in the system because it was too difficult to change them at this point. With that, the availability of the EBD, it has been provided to the agencies in DVD form. It will be provided to some of the local communities in DVD form, and there'll be a limited number of hard copies that are out and around. Getting a hard copy is a commitment. It's about 5 feet long when you stack all the volumes together. There will be a hard copy housed at the Arliss Library along with an electronic copy there, and a few of the agencies will also have hard copies that requested them. For the general public and for most people, it will be available on a website so that anybody can access it and download the portions they want. As we've mentioned, the full EBD document is 27,000 pages long. To help you navigate through all of this, we created a technical summary, which provides a summarized version of each chapter. This technical summary can give you a general overview of the entire EBD if you just want to get the gist of it. At that, it's still a couple hundred pages long. It also lets you kind of get a gist of what each chapter is, so you have an idea if you want to go in and read that chapter in greater detail in the EBD itself. The document has been compiled with electronic links in there, so you can link back and forth between references, graphs, tables, other chapters that it alludes to. And we have provided a user's guide that comes on the website or with the DVD. And I strongly encourage you to use that to help you get through the document so it doesn't become just too bulky and difficult for you. So with that, we do have this document ready. It's been very carefully put together and reviewed. Each chapter was looked at by another scientist, either another consultant or someone within the company, to make sure that it was sound science. It all went through technical editors, and it went through editing by myself. I think I'm the only person who read all 27,000 pages. It doesn't do anything for your personality either, but we went through it trying to make sure that everybody referred to the same things with the same terms so that you didn't get confused from chapter to chapter and wonder if the ore deposit was the same thing as the mineral deposit, was the same thing as the mine deposit. It's generally referred to as the pebble deposit or the general deposit location. But we went through the whole thing trying to keep that kind of consistency and continuity through it, trying to make it as readable as possible. And we hope that you will all find it very useful. And with that caveat, I'm sure there's still a few typos you'll see that creep through. Any questions? Anybody else read it yet?
Can I get the mic turned on, please? So before we go to Q&A, we do have some time here. We're not pressed at the moment. I thought I would explain a little bit about QAQC for the Pebble Project. It's a really, really big part of the entire kind of planning and designing of the field work and the management of the information coming out of the field. And it rolls up into the environmental baseline document itself. And so I thought I'd take a few minutes and explain that we basically plan QA/QC from at the very beginning with planning documents. And these study plans and field sampling plans, quality assurance project plans, are updated every single year to reflect the field work that's conducted that year. And so it's a very detailed body of information that instructs the people in the field as to how the data is to be collected and how it's to be recorded and documented. And from there in the field, we actually have QA/QC starting right there with the field teams checking their work to make sure, one, it's complete, two, they did everything that's expected to be done, and then that it gets correctly transcribed, if you will, into databases, spreadsheets, et cetera. That data then gets passed on to the Pebble partnership. It will have additional reviews, QA/QC reviews, including a review as we accumulate data. It's one thing to check your work in the field and say, okay, it's complete and it's all accurate, we've transcribed it correctly. But there's another level of QA/QC that we call tier three, and that is, does it make sense? Does it fit with, does it represent the environment? Does the water quality sample that we took from this groundwater well represent groundwater? Or has it somehow been changed or altered in some way such that it may not represent groundwater? So that's the last level of QA/QC, and that was a big part of the effort during the production of the environmental baseline document, was that level three review of here, now that we have all this data, 5 years of data, does it all hang together? Does it make sense? And so the peer review that we had our scientists do was part of that review. And then we also have the consultants all have their own internal QA/QC review of their data. And it never ends. It never ended throughout the course of the production of the baseline document. There was always this test among ourselves about the what the data was telling us and whether it really was representing the environment. And so that's a big part of trying to take a great deal of study data and compile it into a large document and have that reflect the environment as best as possible. So with that, we can go on to questions. And we do have plenty of time, so pipe up. Okay. So then if there's no questions on that part of the agenda, we can go on to the next item here.